Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. How deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this 22nd day of December 2018. Getting very close to Christmas, eh? Yeah, we are. And I've got a wonderful set of questions for you today. It's about being positive and negative and all that other stuff. And it might just be very, very interesting to you. I don't know if you're a positive person or considered a negative person. I'm always considered a negative person because whenever you talk about something that has to do with the reality of a given situation, people get judgmental and assumptuous, and we'll talk about that. We are in our fundraising drive. We are trying to raise money for the sustaining of our radio program, of everything we do here on Aspire. It's very, very important. And I hope that if this radio program has helped you, if you've enjoyed it, if it's rang a bell with you in some way or another, that you will make a donation to keep the radio program on the air. It's a very important part of my work, as well as is my hospice and my TV programs. Everything we do on Aspire is to serve you, is to help you, is to offer you an alternative point of view about what most people think of as their conventional life. And our mystery donor, who is very generous, is matching our donations this year. And any donation you make, whether you become a sponsor, which would really be lovely, or you just choose to make a donation, he will match. A sponsor is a person who supports Aspire monthly or quarterly, four times a year or monthly. And there are various ranges of that support. And for your kind gift, you will receive each and every month the Aspire Message of the Month. You will have access to my podcast, video cast, and all of my commentaries that I do twice a month and all the ones I've done in previous years. There are many of them. They're very intense. They are not for the average person, I would say, the pedestrian mentality. They're for those of you who truly are serious about seeking the way. And then you get a chance to listen to and to download at your own discretion all of the discourses I gave for past TV programs that I've done. They're all on the website at aspire.org, the TV programs. Well, not all of them. We're getting more up. In fact, next month, we're going to have What Is the Point of It All, a beautiful series I did on the meaning of life. I mean, really, what is the point of our life at all? So all of this is there for you, and you can download them for free by becoming a sponsor. Go to the website at aspire.org. There on the splash page, the front page, it'll say year-end gifts, and you can go from there and do your thing and help us sustain this program. Positive. What does it mean to be positive? It means to be reassuring. It means to believe in something that might not be happening. I was on a tech call the other day waiting, you know, for something to be fixed that I use to do Aspire with. And the tech person said, let's just hope, let's hope, let's think positive that this is going to work. And I said, well, wait a minute, what about reality? What are we doing there? And he said, well, the reality of the situation is we're going to need hope. And of course it didn't work and yada, 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 yada. I got it fixed eventually, but not the conventional way. So there you are. Hope, reality, they are, and being positive, they are often in paradox with each other. So I get a lot of little emails, criticisms of me. I enjoy them as much as any other thing that I get from you, I want you to know. And so I thought I would take three of them today and offer them to you, and maybe in an effort to, Well, I know I'm not going to change you. I really know that. I know I'm not going to be able to get you to see the light, but at least to plant a few seeds here. That's most important. The first one comes from Heidi, and she lives all the way, believe it or not, in Australia. Yes, Australia. And she listens to our radio program from there via the website at aspire.org. Greg, I have known you for many years, although I've never met you. I guess she listens and watches me on Aspire TV. Why are you so against people who are positive or the idea of being positive? Heidi, I'm not against her or for anything. I'm really not. I am looking for those things that are the reality of our relativity to our heart, to our spiritual heart. That's what I'm looking for. That's all I really care about. Anything that is relative to your spirituality, mine, anything that helps us mature and grow past the human aspect of us that keeps us indoctrinated in fear and hatred and anger, that is what it's all about for me. So please understand, I'm not for or against, but the whole deal of being positive and having a quote-unquote positive outlook on life is just as biased and prejudicial as having a negative one or being prejudiced or being biased towards anything. Bias does not bring us to the truth, the reality of the truth, and it does not change anything either. The object is to see into circumstance, conditions, and to be able to see what the core of those things are. What is the core of any situation you're facing? So I'm sitting here with the tech guy, and I know what he's doing is the best he can do. But I'm a seasoned veteran on screwing things up on the computer. If you want to get anything screwed up, I'm the one that you want to have in your life. I'm the guy that can find that one simple thing or do one simple thing that messes up the whole system. And yeah, people, it's really incredible. Anyway, I don't want to belabor that. As he was talking to me about the things he was doing, trying to get this particular function to work, I knew it wasn't going to work because I too had done it that way, yada, da, yada, da. I knew the reality of the given situation, but he had to see it his way. And I thought, well, I have to let him figure this out on his own. You know, it's his job and maybe I'm wrong, but I wasn't. And when we were in the midst of the whole thing, and I said to him, you really think this is going to work? He said, well, we can only hope it will. Hope is, and it didn't. And so now what? Now what? Instead of being quiet and looking deep within the situation, he wanted to do it in the technological way, in the manner of his conventional mind and what he'd been taught and scripted to do, and not look deep into it. Well, after it was all over, it didn't get fixed. And believe it or not, I hope you're sitting down, by some act of utter mercy on the universe's part, I fixed it. And how I did it was I got quiet again, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting there working on another part of my work, and I have much to do. It dawned on me. It just came to me. The reality of the given situation came to me. And I looked, Heidi, at myself, and I thought, I had a block. And the block was that I had an idea as to what would work and what wouldn't work. And I was wrong about both of those things. And had I been like the tech guy and only hoped that what I knew would be enough to fix what I did, and that's very frustrating. But if you get quiet, you get clear, you sit in the simplicity of your heart, in the solitude of your being, and usher in the silence of your heart, Eventually, if you're quiet enough, I have found over the years, everything comes to light. You start to see the light of everything. And now it's not a matter of needing hope, like rubbing a lamp and hoping the genie will come out. It doesn't work like that at all. Sit in quiet, sit in solitude, sit in simplicity, and the answer will arise. But I find that our minds are biased and prejudiced, Heidi, and we don't want to change them. We don't want them to be different inside. We don't want to transcend our mediocre minds, our conventional thinking. We want things the way we want them to come to us in a pedestrian manner through thought and logic and reasoning. It doesn't always work like that. And if you are hoping for things to work like that and only believe that they can work like that, you miss. You miss the whole kit and caboodle of life. It is better to find the reality than to wish for something that isn't going to work or isn't the answer at all. You've got to live in not the hope, but in the heart. If you live in your heart, eventually your mind will drop and a whole new reality opens up within you. And this is due to meditation. A whole new reality. Life becomes extremely beautiful. And insights come. I couldn't help but feel that old saying that Jesus offered, your Father knows of your needs even before you ask. It was one of those kind of things for me, and I could not be more grateful. I really couldn't, for all the beautiful things that have come to me in that way throughout the course of my lifetime. For a guy who's truly a putz, Heidi, and I am, this works. And I have been given the grace of compassion and mercy in my life. And now I offer that to you through the radio programs and everything, to offer you the way that is not the hope of what you want, but the reality of what you are, the heart of you. I hope that helps you, Heidi. I'm not against being positive. I'm not against being negative. I'm not against anything, and that's the idea, not to have a bias for or against. That's the whole thing. Seek the reality. Please forgive me. Namaste. The next one comes from Gerald. He does not tell me where he lives. How can I be positive about self-examination? How do I know I am being honest with myself, Gerald? Gerald, the object is not to have a bias again. If you want to be positive about self-examination, you won't be able to examine the self. All of us have to take time to have self-examination. Self-examination is not me looking at myself saying, well, this is the excuse I have for being this way, and that way. It is not about that at all. That is what most people believe they must do. But I am telling you, without any kind of bias in me, that won't work. You will never get clear. You will never see how you live with your own life that way. You just won't see it. And you will make your ignorance the knowledge that you live by. And if you do those two things, you're going to find great frustration. So it isn't about being positive nor negative when you're doing some self-examination work. If you're looking at, all right, how did this occur? What is it about me that made all this happen? Now, if you look at that from that point of view, what is it about me that made all this happen? You start to see that there are certain traits, genetic traits, DNA traits. There are certain habits of thought and mind and even body memory that you and I have absorbed that go into the making of some behavior you and I might have in our life, in our demeanor, our our attitudes, our the way we work with ourselves or the way we don't. Once you understand that, to be critical or to be positive is not good at all, neither one. Why can't you just take a picture of it and let it be whatever it is? That's the way I look at it with myself. I take a picture of it. It's neither positive nor negative. Oh, there's that. Oh, that is what it is. The ability to see it without bias, without hate, without fear, without embarrassment, without belittling yourself. The human ego loves to belittle. It loves to praise. It loves to belittle. And when I'm being positive or negative, I'm invoking the human ego, my hubris, into everything. Doing that creates a bias. I start to become prejudicial. I start to find myself whining a little bit on the inside. Well, you know, I wouldn't have done that if it hadn't been for you doing that and that kind of thing. Or I wouldn't be the way I am if my parents hadn't been. You got to give up this thing of blaming your parents all the time, too. Yes, there are certain things in childhood, you are right, that set patterns inside of you and me. But you can't let that be the bias of your life. You can't let that be the bias for which you live your livingness in. It can't be done. If you do that, you're no better than they are. Even if they beat you and tormented you and tortured you, if you look at it as a form of an excuse, a bias for not being able to do whatever it is you need to do to live your life on the terms of your own being, then you're just as bad as they are. And what good is that? Nothing's changed. This is why giving and forgiving are very important. And we're not great forgivers. We don't want to forgive because it's too much fun to hate. And that is part of the issue of the human experience. There is a great... What do I want to say? There is a great excitement. There is a great feeling of self-righteousness when we hate. And if we hate the right things, the right people, in the right way, then things get better and better and better. And we enjoy all of that because it makes us feel like hapless victims and we have an excuse to continue on with the thought processes that we initiated when we were little. See how comfortable you and I are in our thought processes. Once you see the comfort of all of that, the comfort in hating, take one thing, Gerald, take something you really dislike, and then sit there with it and watch your thoughts arise and fall, and how comfortable you are with the tone of maybe disapproving, disliking, and even hating whatever it is your thoughts are presenting to you. Just watch. Don't do anything about it. Just watch. If you do this, you're going to see the reason for all the things that are happening to you. You're going to understand the bias of your psyche and the level, frankly, of your mental acuity. You're going to see it all. And you're going to realize, oh my, this is that, that is this. Oh my, this is my mental acuity. We would be terribly embarrassed to see that mental acuity for the most part, and how we con ourselves into believing this and con ourselves out of believing that and thinking that this is what is right and that's what is wrong. And we live in this for such a long period of time that we miss exactly what the reality of the given situation is and the truth of it all. And isn't the effort to find the truth rather than to be right or rather than to think I'm right? Just watch how your thoughts produce things that emotionally get you to hate, provoke hate in you. Now, if you can do this, then you are going to find yourself, and you should write it all down, Gerald. You really should. It'll help you remember. you'll see the bias of your mind. You will see the bias of your genetics, and that's what you're dealing with, your genetic heritage. You will also see the contempt of your DNA, which merely wants to survive at all cost, and what that's all about and why that happens the way it does. You will see many things. You don't have to be angry about those things. You don't have to be biased about them, and you don't have to like them or dislike them. The object is not to like or dislike. The object is to be in service to your heart and to listen to it, no matter what it is telling you, to be in service to your heart, your authentic heart, not your human heart, your authentic one. I want to make that very clear. Okay, Jer, I hope that helped you. It certainly was a great question, and thank you for listening, and please forgive me wherever you are. Namaste. It always amazes me, people writing me, listening to me from everywhere. You know, I meet them in this kind of forum of radio, and we touch for a few moments, and then we disappear. I go into whatever I have to do. They do whatever they have to do. We may never meet again in the flesh. It's very interesting. The last question from Les in Colorado. The world is very negative, and it has become even more negative. Why, Les? Because, Les, first of all, we're overpopulated. Okay, I don't want to get into the thing of that. There are too many human beings on the planet, and that's a big part of the problem. Because, like Jacques Cousteau said, any organism that overpopulates implodes upon itself. So with all of the people that are here in the social media and the technology we have, I mean, our dark side is right in our face all the time. Our immaturity is in our face all the time. You can't read an article, let's say, in the newspaper online without 150 million different marketing ploys being thrown at you. I can't even read them. They put them in your face over and over and over again, and then you have to click out of them, and it's a mess. Everybody's trying to survive. That's the problem. The world isn't just negative. It is a difficult place. It is a difficult place, and it has always been a difficult place. We have taken whatever has been most beautiful and made a contemptuous kind of assumption about it. Look at the great masters we've had. Look at them. Look what happened to Jesus, to Gandhi. Even Buddha had to run away from his family. They were constantly trying to find him. They wanted to kill him because he didn't become the king that was necessary, they thought, for him to be in order to save their little kingdom. You look at modern-day people, Gandhi, Anwar Sadat, Dr. Martin Luther King, the Kennedy brothers, you know, you just see it all. We don't have any respect for that which has respect for life itself, for the meaning of life. The reason things appear to be negative is because we have no respect for this life, and we have no answers to our problems because we have no soul. We are a soulless generation. Jesus called us an adulterous generation. We are soulless. We don't have any sense of the soul and what it is. The replacement for the soul is the ego, the vanity, the hubris, the pride. That's it. And because few, if any, are interested in the state of the soul and what it means to develop it in a course of a lifetime, we have billions of people who could care less and live dog-eat-dog. Meditation is the way. It opens up this thing of our soul, but very few people ever walk through that door. It's just not very popular, and besides, it's expensive and it takes too much time. I got to go less. I hope I helped you. Thank you for your beautiful question. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste. I'll be back on the air tomorrow. Have a beautiful day. And again, please forgive me, won't you? Please? Namaste.